This is a emphasis that we do every year, and some people may ask, why missions? Why are we doing this? Here's a few reasons why we emphasize missions and ministry around the world. And the first reason is because it's God's heart. God's heart bleeds, literally, for people who don't know Him. For God so loved the world, you may have heard. For God so loved Africa, and God so loved Cuba, and God so loved the world, He so loved you that He sent His only Son. That's God's heart for us. And the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. And so can I tell you that maybe you've recently given your heart to the Lord? Maybe during that, the movie series, you just started your journey and your walk with God. Can I tell you, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to feel that heart for other people who need Jesus Christ in our community, in our state, in our country, and yes, all around the world. So it's God's heart. The second reason is because it's God's command. Missions is God's command. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the scripture says, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. And so we exist to win people to Jesus. I like to tell people that our church doesn't have a missions program. We are a missions program. It's who we are. Our goal is to take as many people to heaven with us. Am I in the right church today? And so we are doing this because it's God's command, not to just reach our city, our community, but the entire world for Jesus Christ. And then the third reason is, it's exciting. Missions is exciting. You know, I don't know what your perspective is on missions and missionaries, but I kind of tell you, it's one of the most exciting things to talk about and be part of because it's the stuff they don't tell you about on the news. On the news, you hear about this and that or the other. Well, this last week, I sat in on an Assemblies of God World Missions Board meeting. I heard a couple stories that are pretty amazing. One, I heard a missionary to a Muslim country say that in the last 10 months, he's seen more Muslims come to Jesus than he has in the last 35 years. Yeah, God's up to something. Heard a story of a missionary. I can't tell you his name or where he's from or what country he's serving because it's a sensitive country. But he recently went to a closed country, a sensitive country. The king of the country found out he had some basketball skills, a divine appointment, appointed him to be the coach of the national basketball team. Yeah. And says, I'm going to give you 10 extra visas if you want to go back to America and bring some basketball coaches with you. I have no idea they're missionaries. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. That's exciting. You're not going to read about that on the news, and I hope you don't, but it's just a point, a picture. God's moving around the world, and so that's why we're doing what we're doing, and so I hope you catch the infection of missions. It's awesome. It's exciting to be part of, and why are we focusing on Africa? Well, there's a couple reasons for that. Every year, we focus on a different part of the world, a different people group, a different theme. And so Africa is part of the unique story of our church. We have always been a church for all people, a church for all nations, and God has literally brought the world to our community. And so part of that is a growing number of African families who are native to Africa, part of Grace Assembly of God. I think that's pretty awesome for a church whose address is New White Land. I think God's kind of funny. I love that. I love it. It's great. So it's part of our story, and it's a great opportunity. 6 weeks ago, I was in Africa for 10 days, and I saw incredible opportunity. I'll be sharing more about that as the year goes on, the different opportunities that we have. But the doors are open in Africa for God to do great things, and Greg Beggs is going to share a little bit about that later. So this is a huge deal. It's important what we're doing. And so I want to challenge you right off the beginning, be part of everything we're doing this week. Okay? You see the schedule there in your missions program. Be part of everything we're doing. Wednesday night when we do the live missions experience, everybody's going to have a chance to go to Africa without leaving Johnson County. We're going to bring Africa here on Wednesday night. I'll talk a little bit more about that later and then next Sunday. So I want to encourage you to join us. We're going to receive our offering now, so our ushers are going to come, and I want to encourage you to prepare to give today. This is the thing that we do every week as we give the first of our income to the Lord. I don't like to use the term regular offering because there's nothing regular about giving 10% of your money away. That's always amazing and awesome and a miracle. And so thank you for those who are participating in that way and tithing to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, your generosity changes the world. You say, how's that? Well, recently I received information from our national office, which is in Springfield, Missouri, that out of almost 13,000 churches, Grace Assembly of God, us, We're in the top 100 churches of people who gave to missions and missionaries around the world. That's pretty amazing. So thank you. So thank you for making Jesus famous throughout the worst world. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you are provoking other people in a good way. That's what we want to be, the provoking church, right? Come on, let's all do it for Jesus. Amen. And so your giving has made all of those things possible. So thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your generosity. I do want to let you know, at the end of the service, we're going to receive a second offering, a missions offering for our guests here today. But this is the offering that we give our first to the Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege of sharing the message of Jesus with the world. It's your heart. You love people. Our prayer today, God, help us to love what you love. Help us to have the same heart that you do for lost people, for those who are hurting. God, we know that you have created us to be your hands and feet. So, God, as we give, we're believing that you're going to use these gifts to change the city, to change our neighborhoods, to change the world. We give in faith. We give with gratitude that we have received this message and we have the opportunity to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for your giving this morning. We are very privileged to have with us the Regional Director of Assemblies of God World Missions in Africa, Greg and Dana Beggs. And their bio is in your program. You can read more about them. But these are some of the best of the best. Now, some of you guys will remember a couple of years ago, we did the Live Dead Missions Week, and we had all of the missionaries with us from the Live Dead Arab World. Anybody remember those things? The Live Dead Initiative was created. It was Greg's idea. I didn't know that until a few months ago. And so God is the one that birthed this vision for him, through him, that is now one of the largest missions initiatives in the world. You see, Pastor, it sounds like you're trying to hype this guy up. I'm trying to get you to understand who's about to speak to you, a person that is overseeing all of these missionaries to Africa, but more than that, God's giving him a vision. And this is why I like hanging around guys like this. God's giving him a vision to change the world in some of the hardest places of the earth. Would you give a great Grace Assembly of God welcome to Pastor Greg Beggs as he comes to share?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. Let's just praise Jesus again. Can we do that? Pastor Steve, awesome stuff, man. This was great this morning. Let's raise our hands and say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love the lost. Thank you, Jesus, that you care about people that are hurting, that are hungry, that are sick, that are dying. But most of all, Jesus, you care about those that don't know you. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross, for sacrificing everything. And Lord, so we're going to do all that we can. Lord, we're going to do all that we can to make sure that there is not one single tribe, not one single group of people on the face of this earth that do not have an adequate witness of who you are, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it is a real joy to be with you. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for loving missions. Thank you for loving missionaries. Thank you for letting us come and this wonderful, good-looking group of people here hang out with you all week. You're a brave man. And we appreciate it so much. Thank you for all that this church does and for your leadership in our fellowship. Your pastor serves on the board that gives direction to all of us as missionaries. And he helps us make decisions that literally affect the world and how the gospel is preached around the world. And we appreciate that, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you for letting us be with you. I believe that there are no closed doors to the gospel. We hear a lot of terrible stuff on the news these days, don't we? Just get tired of listening to one more crisis, one more bad thing. And it sometimes it just feels like The bad guys are winning. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when Jesus opens a door to plant the church, there is nothing that can stop that. Do you believe that? There are no closed doors. In spite of places that are hostile to messengers and to the message of the gospel, there are open doors in places where terrorists rule and life is cheap. There are open doors in places where Christ is misunderstood and hated due to religious propaganda, even in those places. There are no impossible places. There are no places that are too dangerous, too expensive, or too difficult to send missionaries from this church. Do you believe that? The Somali people. There's a beautiful picture of a little Somali girl as you walk out on this side, right back there. Beautiful picture. A poster on the wall right there. The group that she's from, they say that to be born a Somali is to be born a Muslim. I say no. To be born a Somali is to be born created in the image of God, with the ability to be drawn by the Spirit, to hear the Spirit calling. Amen. Even Somalis can come to know Jesus. In the book of Revelation, Pastor already alluded to it once today, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle John talks about an open door, and he says this. He says, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. And yet, you have kept my word and not denied my name. Jesus holds the key of David. And he unlocks doors, and when people walk through those doors, on the other side of those doors, there are miracles waiting to happen so that the church of Jesus gets planted. That's the truth. It's not about our strength. This verse here says, I know that you have little strength. It's not about how wise we are. You're going to get to spend a week with some wonderful missionaries. That's the truth. These people are good at what they do. But let me tell you something. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how much knowledge we have. It's not about how good we can speak some foreign language. It is about the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in us to enable us, to empower us, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's what this is about. Let me give you some examples. Can I just tell some stories this morning? Some examples of powerful ways that Jesus opened doors. And when people walked through, there were miracles that took place so that the church was planted. Way down in the south of the country of Tanzania, on the Mozambique border, in a very strong Muslim area, we had been trying to plant the church. We've been trying for years with no success. It was a hard area. And a pastor came to us, a young man out of Bible school. His name was Jeremani. Jeremani said, I want to go to Nyanyanda, that's the area, and I want to start a church. He had a wife and three kids. We said, okay, let's do this thing. We got him down there. We dropped him off, and we left him. And he had a terrible time. The people of that Muslim village tormented him. They would spit on the ground when he would walk by. They would throw rocks at his kids. There was no good school for his kids to go to, only a Muslim madras. They wouldn't let his wife buy groceries in the outdoor market there. They would shun her and keep her away. He suffered. Day in and day out, the people of that village had nothing to do with him. The village was out in the bush. Nyanyanda was a place where most of the people were pastoralists. They had cows and goats and sheep, and they herded those cows and goats and sheep out into the bush. And it was a wild area, and there were lions in the area. Now remember, when God opens a door, no one can shut it. Amen? And when you walk through that door, God will do what he has to do in a miraculous sense so that the church of Jesus is planted. This lion, a lioness, kept coming into the village. And she was stealing goats, sheep, cattle. And it got so bad that the village rose up and they decided, we've got to kill this particular lioness. So they got together a group of people. We're going to go kill this lion. And they had a bunch of pangas, like machete kind of big knives, and they had some spears, and one guy had an old gun, and they were decided, we're going to go hunting. So they gathered a group of people, and Jedimani, our pastor, he said, hey, I want to go with you guys. Well, normally they didn't let Jedimani do anything, but when you're going lion hunting, anybody is okay. So Jedimani goes with them to the bush. And they're tracking this lion. And somehow he gets separated from the main group. The main group is over here, and there's a bunch of bush out there in between him and two other Muslim guys and the main group. And out of this bush comes the lion. And she jumps on one of these Muslim guys. Now here's Jedimani. He's got a machete. And he looks at the lion who's jumped on top of this Muslim man. Now the smart thing would have been to what? You run. Run away. Jedimani said, the Spirit of God came on me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God came on me. He said, and I walked up to that. He said, I had no fear. And I walked up to that lion, and I jumped on that lion's back who was on top of this poor Muslim guy mauling him. And he said, I started to hack on that lion with this machete. And about that time, due to all the ruckus and the noise, the rest of the village that were out hunting caught up with them. And they see Jedimani there on top of the lion fighting this lion. And this Muslim guy underneath there trying to stay alive. And the other Muslim guy, wise man, whoop, he's gone. Jedimani hit that lion just right. He told me later, he said, missionary, he said it was like the Spirit of God took control of that knife. And he said it went right into that lion. The lion rolled over. The Muslim guy's all scarred up and bleeding everywhere. And Jedimani doesn't have a scratch on him. He stands up, and the crowd comes around, and they say, Jedimani, why would you do this? Why would you risk your life for a man who's been tormenting you? Why would you do this? And you know what he told them, right? He said, because the love of Jesus compels me to stay here. To risk everything I have for your sake. And he told him about Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Out of that one little village, we have planted 8 more churches now. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Praise God. A lion. A lion. Now that's a wild story, I understand. But the point is this. When you walk through an open door of obedience, when you hear the Spirit of God speak to you this week, and He will. When you hear Him speak to you, you say, yes, Lord, and you walk through that door, whatever it is. Is it to pray more? Is it to give? Maybe it's to go with one of these missionaries. Whatever it is, you be. Maybe God is calling you to get involved in something that your church is doing right here. But let me tell you, you want to see miracles? Get involved in walking through open doors into ministry. And you will see God start to move on your behalf. Grandmother Sarah was a little African lady. She had 3 grandkids. She was destitute, a widow. The parents of the grandkids had passed away. She really had nothing. She went to a little church in Nairobi, Kenya. And somebody came to that church and talked about a group of people that are unreached, completely unreached in northern Kenya called the Rendille. And something began to stir in Grandmother Sarah's heart. I pray that this week something begins to stir in your heart as you hear about the lost, as you hear about places where the church does not exist. I pray that that love of Jesus would be revealed in your heart and that you would respond like Grandmother Sarah. She went to her pastor and she said, Pastor, I want to go to those people, to the Rendille. The pastor said, oh, listen, Grandmother, you just need to sit down. You just need to stay right here. You don't have any money. You've never been to Bible school. How are you gonna do this thing? She said, but God's calling me, Pastor. I need to go. The pastor said, well, if somehow something works out, you can go. But Grandmother Sarah, you just need to stay here. Grandmother Sarah got a little job and somehow made enough money for her kids to be taken care of for a period of time. And she got on a truck, not even a bus. She got on a truck and rode in the back of a cattle truck for 3 days up into northern Kenya looking for this group of people. And she would ask, is this where the Rendille live? And finally, somebody said, yes, this is the village where the Rendille people live. And she got out. She had no more money. She had no food. And a woman came up to her and said, what are you doing here? You're not our tribe. Why are you here? She said, I've come to tell you people about Jesus. And the woman said, oh, that's nice. Now you come to my house and you stay with me until we can figure out how to get you out of here. The next morning, they woke up and there was a big ruckus outside. And the elders of that village had found a witch doctor. And this witch doctor had poisoned someone. And they were taking her out to kill her. She was like a crazy woman. And Grandmother Sarah said, hey, let me go and pray for this woman. Don't kill her. Don't stone her. Let me talk to her. They said, okay. You talk to her quickly and then we're going to finish what we started here. Grandmother Sarah went up to this woman and said, can I just pray with you? She began to pray. She started talking to her about the Lord, about Jesus, and a calmness came over that witch doctor. She said, you need to be delivered. Grandmother Sarah began to pray in the spirit, and God began to deliver that woman. And God gave her back her right mind and calmed her down, and the whole village was watching this. And they said, okay, Sarah, you can stay for a little bit longer. A few days later, there was a man who was crippled, could barely walk. Grandmother Sarah prayed for him, and God miraculously healed him. The people of that village, the Rendille people in that particular area, turned to Jesus in mass. Now listen, friends, this was an unreached people group with no churches. And today, we have dozens and dozens of churches among the Rendille people. They're no longer an unreached people group. Can you say praise God? Because one lady walked through an open door. Was she qualified? No. But remember what the verse of Scripture said? Not about being strong. It's not about being qualified. It's not about having everything you need. It's about being obedient to Jesus. When He calls you, when He speaks to you, it's about saying, "Yes, Lord, I will do whatever You ask me to do." I talked about the Somali earlier. They're a rough people, hard to engage with the gospel. We had been working among them in northern Kenya for years. Nothing was going on. It was just hard work. People were threatened. They had burned buildings that we had used for churches, and so we decided, look, we got to figure this thing out. So we went up there with what we called a life center up into northern Kenya near the Somali border. And we started taking care of goats and cows, and we did some education, English as a second language kind of thing. We drilled a well, and we tried to just do anything that would help them in that community so that maybe they would listen to our folks as they told them about Jesus. A Somali businessman came up to the leader of that group, a Kenyan fellow, and he said, "You know, I know that you need a piece of land here." He said, "Can I sell you some land?" And the guy said, "Yeah, that would be great. You know, it's hard to own land in an area that belongs to nothing but Muslims. They will hardly ever sell to a Christian. So, yes, please. We would love to have land." So we paid for it. It was expensive. We paid for it. Got a title deed. We registered it with the government. It wasn't long after that, after we had started building this life center, the government came and shut us down. They said, "You don't have the right to be on this land. You don't own it." We said, "We do own it. Here's the title deed." And they said, "Well, who sold this to you?" We said, "Well, Mr. Loge." They said, "Loge? You should know. He's a crook." Well, we didn't know. And now we own land that we don't own, and we paid a lot of money for it. So we had to leave. And we felt discouraged. We felt defeated. But remember what the Scripture says? When He opens a door, nobody can shut it. Logie went to bed one night. The guy that ripped us off, swindled us. He's sleeping, curled up on his bed. And he has a dream. And in this dream, a man in a white robe walks into his room. Now, if you're dreaming and you see a man in a white robe walk in, you better pay attention. I'm just telling you. And he had a cane. And he walked up to Loge and he said, "Loge, why have you cheated my people?" And Loge is kind of awake and he's looking at this guy. And all of a sudden, the man in the white robe takes his stick and whacks Loge on the leg. And he wakes up and his leg is hurt. That's a bad dream, isn't it? He wakes up and his leg is hurting. The next morning, listen, friends, on the other side of the door, there are miracles. His leg swells up and he's limping. And he goes to the doctor, little clinic there in Wajir, Kenya. And he says, "Doctor, I don't know what's happened to me." He said, "But my leg is hurting." And he's looking at his leg and he's feeling around. And he says, "Well, how did you hurt it?" He said, "Well, I had a dream." The doctor says, "Whoa, wait a minute." He said, "I don't do dreams." He says, "If you hurt your leg, I can tell." He said, "But there's nothing wrong with you. If you're having dreams, you need to go somewhere else." Logan kept having these dreams. He had no peace. Jesus was after him. He decided the only way I can get peace here is I've got to go find these people that I cheated. And he got on a bus and rode from Wajir, which is way up in the north of Kenya, for about, well, it was about half a day or more, all the way down to Nairobi. He gets off. He starts asking around. Somebody directs him to our headquarters there. He comes in, and there's guys at the gate. Here comes a Muslim man with his robes, and he's coming up to the gate of our Bible college where our headquarters is. He says, I need to see your bishop. They're like, well, what do you want with him? He said, well, I cheated you, and I need to make it right. This is such a strange story. So they call more people, and they invite him in, and he finds the general superintendent of the Kenya Assemblies of God. And when he sees him, he recognizes him. And he falls on his knees in front of Brother Peter Ngidi. And he says, forgive me. I have caused problems. I have cheated you. I have done this and this and this. And he tells the story about the dream. And our pastor laid his hand on Brother Loge's head. And he prayed for him. And God forgave him. And his knee, his leg quit hurting him. And he stood up and they told him the full story of Jesus. And I got a text from one of my Kenyan friends there. And he said, Beggs, guess what has happened? Loge, that thief, has come over to our side. Hallelujah. On the other side of the door, there are miracles, friends. Nothing is impossible when we believe. Amen? In the book of Acts, there's a really cool story. Acts chapter 10. If you know your Bible, you know it's about Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius was a soldier. He was a good guy. The Bible says that he prayed regularly. He gave to the poor. He was a righteous man. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't say he knew Jesus. There's a lot of good people in this world who pray all the time. There's a lot of people who do good things. There's a lot of people with good hearts who love hurting poor people and who do something about it. But you know something? Until you know Jesus, you're lost. No matter how good you are. It's not about being good. It's about knowing Jesus. Cornelius had a dream. And he dreamed that he was supposed to send somebody to find a man by the name of Peter. So he called these people and he sent them to look for Peter. Peter now is staying with his friend down on the coast. And he's up on the roof. Peter is asleep. It's about noontime and he's hungry. He's a Pentecostal preacher and he's hungry at about noontime. And Peter is there sleeping, and he has a dream. And this sheet comes down out of heaven. And it's full of all sort of things that are bad for Jewish people to eat. Things that are not kosher. And he hears this voice that says, get up, kill, and eat. Peter says, no way, I'm not going to do that. All of my life I've kept the rules. I've done what's right. I can't do that. And the voice came back and said, Peter, if I have cleansed it, do not call it unclean. That was an open door. Peter didn't understand it then. You know, sometimes we don't always understand open doors. Some of you may begin to sense a door opening in front of you. You don't get it yet, but something in your heart is tugging at you right now saying, what's going on here is right. There's some truth in this, and I need to get involved some way. You don't understand it all yet, and that's okay. Peter got up and he went downstairs, kind of confused about this dream, and who's at the door? The guys that Cornelius sent. And they say, hey, Peter, come with us. We want you to talk to our boss. We want you to talk to our captain. He's a good man. And he wants to know more about Jesus. And so he gets to Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile. And the rules said that Jews don't fraternize with Gentiles. That's what the culture said. That's what the rules said. That's what the law said. But remember the dream? So when Peter stepped through the door of Cornelius' house, that open door, when he stepped through that open door into Cornelius' house, he opened the door to reach the Gentile nations of this world. How many Jews are here today? Are there any Jewish folks with us today? Okay. How many Gentiles? That would be the rest of you. When Peter walked through that door, he made salvation possible for you and me and for all of our ancestors. Can we say thank you, Jesus? He didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to him. But he did it anyway. That's how open doors are at times. They don't always make sense at first. Sometimes they're confusing. Sometimes they're terribly frightening. Sometimes we think, what in the world? I am not qualified to do what God is calling me to do. But remember, it's not about being qualified, is it? It's about being what? Obedient. I want to tell you one more story about a friend of mine by the name of Mfundo. He lives in Zanzibar. Pastor, you were just in Zanzibar. He lives in Zanzibar. He's got a great ending to the story. I'm not going to tell you that yet. He was born a Muslim. Mfundo was. When he was just a young man, maybe 5 or 6 years old, he got leprosy. Now, it wasn't a leprosy that kills him. It may have eventually killed him, but it was a type of leprosy that just, it ate holes in his flesh, and he had scaly skin, and he was terrible to look at. He had scars all over him, open weeping sores that he was just hard to be around. When he was 18 years old, he was walking by a little Tanzania Assemblies of God church, and he heard him singing. And he heard a man get up and start talking about Jesus and how Jesus died on the cross for us and how Jesus loves us. And he was compelled. A Muslim man had grown up in Islam, but he was compelled to go in that church. He went in the church. He responded to the love of Jesus. He got saved. Hallelujah. Mfundo started living at the church because his family kicked him out. He had nowhere to go. So he hung around at the church all day long with the pastor, and pastor fed him, kind of took care of him. A few years later, after Mfundo had grown in the Lord, a stirring began to take place in his heart. Doors began to open. Hallelujah. And he came to his pastor and he said, Pastor, God is calling me. I know it. The Holy Spirit is urging me to plant a church. You're always talking about how important it is to plant churches, and we plant churches. It's my turn now. I want to plant a church. Pastor looked at Mfundo and he kind of shook his head and he said, oh, he said, Mfundo, I don't think so. He said, no. He said, now listen, you're a good young man. You're a good Christian, but you need to just stay right here in this church. You're a leper. And nobody's going to come to the church that you plant. And Mfundo was crushed. He said, but Pastor, God is calling me. Was he qualified? Absolutely not. Was God calling him? Yeah. He said to the pastor, he said, Pastor, what if I get healed? Well, what are you going to say to that? Well, okay. If you get healed, yes. He said, okay, call for the elders of the church. So they called for him and they laid hands on him, Mfundo. Now listen, God completely healed Mfundo. Praise God. Gave him beautiful black skin, except for two places on the inside of his little fingers. And Mfundo told me, he said, you know, he said, God didn't heal those two little places to always remind me that I'm not qualified. It's not about me. Open doors are not about us, friends. They're about Jesus and his love for a lost world. All we have to do is walk through them. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I will be obedient to you. Am I qualified? Maybe not. But on the other side of that door of obedience, there are miracles waiting to take place in your life. You want to see miracles? Get involved in the ministry. Do something for Jesus. Open your mouth and talk about Jesus. Lay your hands on people and pray for them in the name of Jesus and watch him work. We don't see miracles because we don't walk through the doors. When we walk through the doors of obedience, God meets us on the other side and does his thing. He builds his church, not us. Mfundo said, hey, pastor, can I go plant the church now? Oh. The pastor says, well, Mfundo, now, you know, you got to go to Bible school. You know, sometimes it's hard to obey God. Sometimes, no, listen, friends. When you start to obey God, the enemy can put a lot of roadblocks in your way. And sometimes he even uses good people to do it. It's the truth. So they went to Bible school. Somehow they let Mfundo in. Remember, Mfundo was a Muslim leper. He couldn't go to grade school because he was a leper. He couldn't read or write. He went to the Bible school, he showed up, he sat down with the principal, a guy by the name of Simeon Vomo. He said, Brother Vomo, I want to get into the school. Brother Vomo says, you can't read or write. How are you going to come to this school? This is a real school. He said, please, just let me in. I've got a little bit of money to pay the tuition for the first term. Please let me in. He said, okay, you come, but if you can't pass by the first term, then you're going to have to leave. Mfundo told me, he said, Brother Beggs, he said, I would go to my classes. And he said, I would take my Kiswahili Bible and I would put it on my head like this. And I would say, oh, Jesus, teach me to read, teach me to read, teach me to read. Help me to understand this. He would sit there and listen to the teachers as they lectured. The first set of exams, they allowed him to do them orally. Somebody would read him the question and he would tell them the answer and they would write it down. The principal came and said, you can't do that anymore. At the end of the first year, after three semesters in school, Mfundo was making as good a grades as anybody. He had learned to read and write, and he could understand his Bible as good as any of the other students. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Mfundo planted a church. That church is in Zanzibar. It's on the other side of the island from where you were, in a Muslim area. And Mfundo is there, a former Muslim who understands Islam. He today has planted several churches. Was he qualified? No. Were the doors open? Yes. Did he walk through them? Absolutely. What are the doors that God has put before you? Sometimes they're hard to understand. Sometimes they're confusing. Sometimes we don't get the whole picture. Actually, most of the time we don't. We just walk in obedience. This week, as this wonderful group of missionaries right here hangs out with you guys, You're going to hear stories. You're going to hear opportunities. You're going to hear about open doors. I challenge you to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is He telling you? And if you will be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about missions, yes. About ministry right here in your church, yes. About the lost in Indianapolis, yes. If you'll be obedient, you will see God do amazing things in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us faith to walk through those doors. Daunting, scary. Sometimes we don't get it. But God, when we see that door of opportunity open up and we know that we're supposed to say something about you, Jesus, or we're supposed to pray for somebody, or we're supposed to go, or we're supposed to give, help us to just do that, Lord, and expect you on the other side to work the miracles. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Would you say thank you to Greg for a wonderful ministry today? I'd like to follow up with that by simply asking, if you're here this morning and you need a miracle in your life, maybe it's healing or a miracle of provision, direction from the Lord. Maybe you need God to work in your family. I don't know what it is, but I'd like to pray with you today that God would answer your prayer. If that's you here today, would you stand? I just need prayer. I need a miracle of some kind in my life. I want to encourage you to stand, because just as an act of faith, as you stand, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And just believe God to work in your life today. Amen. Thank you for standing. If you need prayer for any reason, we're going to join with you. And before I pray for you, before I pray with you, I want to ask you a question that Greg has been asking you. Is there an open door in front of you that God is asking you to walk through? Because maybe, just maybe, the miracle is on the other side of that door. When you obey in faith, when you step out in faith and do what God is asking you to do, I believe you'll see God move on your behalf. So let's pray together. God, I thank you for these men and women who have stood today, and I pray for them. Lord, our church family, we pray with them, that you would minister to them and give them exactly what you want them to have. And God, if there's an open door that's part of the process of what you want to do in their lives, I pray you give them courage to step through it. I pray you give them courage to open their mouth to do what you ask them to do. And Lord, as they walk in obedience, we're believing that you're going to answer every prayer and your name will be lifted up and you will be glorified as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'd like to invite all of our missionary team to join us up here on the platform today. I want to give you a chance to meet them and their families. We are very excited. You have some details in your program about them and who they are. I want to introduce them to you. And as they're coming, I want to encourage you that there are three ways that you can partner with missions, with us in missions, as far as reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Okay, and I know they all look great, but eyeballs on me. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much. Here's one way that you can partner with this, okay? The first one is to pray. Everybody say pray. One of the best strategies of missions is prayer. I believe in prayer. I know I go to a church that believes in the power of prayer, that when we pray, things happen. You've heard stories. I've heard stories of God's miraculous intervention because, hey, at such and such a time, God woke me up to pray. How many have heard those types of stories? I believe that God's going to tap many of you on the shoulder and you're going to become the prayer partners for these men and women. Okay? And you're going to say, Lord, I give you permission to wake me up. I give you permission to stir my spirit and pray for these men and women. Now, in your program, there is not only information about them, but there's a place for you to write down how you can pray for them. So in just a few minutes, when we're done with the service, they're going to be out in the hub. I want you to get their prayer card. When you go to small groups with them this week, when you have the opportunity to interact with them, find out how you can pray for them and become their prayer partner. Now, the second thing that you can do to partner with them is giving. Everybody say giving. And giving is a very exciting part of missions because we get to do the easy part of missions. How many know they're doing the hard part? They're the ones who are actually leaving homes and families and jobs, and they're going to other parts of the world to preach the gospel of Jesus. And all we are asked to do so far today is simply give something. How many know we get the easy part? I sat in an interview this past week interviewing a missionary candidate. It was a couple with a one-year-old baby. And somebody asked them, you know, what was the hardest part of them following God in missions? And they said, well, this is the only grandbaby on both sides of our family. So she'll grow up without seeing her grandparents a lot. And it was very hard on them. But he said, they understand that this is the call of God. That's hard. How many would agree that's hard? I'm not asking you to do that. I am asking you to do the easy part, which is give. Okay, and there's a couple ways you can do it. In just a moment, we're going to receive an offering for our guests. Greg Beggs, you can give. But a very powerful way to do it is become a Faith Promise partner with us. And in your program today, there is a card that looks like this. I'd like you to take it in your hand. And I want you to pray this week about your part in giving to missions at Grace Assembly. Remember, we don't have a missions program. We are a missions program. But I'd like to ask everybody here to make a faith promise to missions in the coming year. And so you're going to give weekly or monthly in addition to the tithe. You're going to give and you're going to designate it to missions. So when you write it on a check, you're going to say, this is going to missions. When you give electronically, you're going to click the button that says missions. And together, we are going to continue to support 270 missionaries and ministries around the world. All right? Now, I already told every one of these people by faith last night that we're going to go ahead and add them to our support list. Are you guys all right with that? That's right. Good. So I did it by faith because I knew I could count on you that you're going to increase your commitment to mission. So I want you to pray this week, and I want you to listen to the voice of God. Talk to your family. Hey, how can we make a commitment to missions? And one of the best ways to consider it is, or as far as the starting point, is giving 1 hour's wage per week to missions. So the equivalent of 1 hour's wage. Whatever you make per week, divide it by 40. Let that be the starting point of your conversation with God about giving to missions. The Lord may speak to some of you about doing much more than that. Maybe your business wants to be part of it. I would encourage you to consider that as well. I've learned a long time ago, if we take care of God's business, He'll take care of our business. Oh, I'm preaching now. All right. And so, and then here's the third way that you can partner with them when it comes to missions, and that is going. You say, Pastor, how does that work? Well, there's a few different ways that works. First is, as you meet some of them, you're going to learn about opportunities they have for short-term missions. We've got some mission trips that are coming up next year we'll let you know about. There's a one-year program called Missionary Associates that some of them have already done. You can talk to them about that. It's called Give a Year, Pray for a Lifetime. And then some of you, God's going to tap you on the shoulder, and He's going to ask you to give your life to ministry. And when He does, I want you to do what I did when I was 17 and just say, yes, sir. And there will be a life of no regrets. I promise you that. Serve the Lord. I believe God gave me a vision 18 years ago that 100 ministers and missionaries were going to come out of this church. And so I believe that this week God may tap some of you on the shoulder. And you'll want to talk to some of these folks about what that looks like in their lives. So those are three ways. You can pray. Everybody say pray. You can give. Everybody say give. Or you can go. Oh, you actually said go. The 9 o'clock, they were a little bit hesitant about saying go. All right. I'm going to ask our ushers to come, and we're going to give you an opportunity to give the first missions offering of this missions week today. And this one's going to go to our speaker and his wife. So I want to encourage you to give your best here this morning. If you're giving by cash, that's always good, I guess. Check to Grace Assembly of God electronically. You can do it on the app, on your phone. You can do it online on your way out. There's a giving kiosk. You can use that to give as well. Everybody should give something. Join Tracy and I as we give something here today as a seed, as a response, as a thank you to missions. How many believe that's a good idea? A giving to missions is one of the most smartest. How about that? We are in Indiana. One of the smartest investments that you can make And so thank you for doing it. Teenagers, I want to challenge you to give. Mom and dad, give. Everybody give something, and God can do miracles through that. All right? So ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. I want to have these guys introduce themselves to you. These guys are the best of the best. My wife and my son had dinner with these folks last night, and most of them are certifiable crazy. That's what makes them awesome. And I want to give you the opportunity to hear their name, where they're serving, a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Pastor. My name is Bill Moore. My wife is Rita. I know that some of you, because some have already told me in the lobby, you've been praying for her. She had cancer surgery on Thursday. God brought her through, nothing short of a miracle, and so we give God the glory for that. So thank God. First went to Africa in 1980 as a short-termer. That's where I first met Greg Beggs in Nairobi, Kenya, actually. We then became appointed missionaries in 1987, serving in the countries of Malawi and South Africa. And now we're leading a ministry called Africa Tabernacle Evangelism, building churches all over Africa, about 2,700 to date.
My name is Randy Freeman. This is my wife, Desra, and our daughter, Olivia. And we have three other kids who are in the programs today. We serve in a ministry called Urban Tribes that focuses on planting churches in large metropolitan areas around the continent of Africa.
Good morning. My name is Scott Pongratz, and this is my wife, Erin, and this is our youngest, Hunter. And we have Tyler and Connor, who are also here with us. They are in the children's program this morning. We serve in the country of South Africa, and our main focus is planting churches. And so we are partnering with the National Church, helping to train pastors how to plant churches. And just a little side note, Indiana is our home, so we are home this week and to celebrate with you guys, Indiana.
My name is Paul Freeman. This is my wife, Samantha. And I was born, actually, the year after Bill Moore began his ministry in Africa. So we live in on Zanzibar, the island that Brother Greg mentioned. We're doing church planting among UPGs there. We have an English center, and we'll be doing some agriculture training as well.
Hi, I'm Rachel DiTrolio, and I just wrapped up 2 years in DR Congo, and now I am serving all of Africa as the point person. So if you're interested in going to Africa for any reason, you feel called, come talk to me.
My name is Eric. This is my wife, Amy, Madison, Autumn, and Jordan. We're the Spencer family, and God has called us to the Republic of the Congo. It wasn't but a couple years ago, I was sitting in an auditorium much like this, and it's amazing how God moves. We're first-time missionaries. We're starting out this process, stepping out in faith, and just enjoying seeing how God opens doors and just makes our paths straight. So, praise the Lord. Oh, and I'm a 25-year veteran of the military. I'm getting ready to get out in January. So,
25-year veteran of the military. Come on, somebody. All right. Now, it is no small thing for a church to ask these guys to spend 7 days with us, but that's what we've asked them to do, and that's what they've agreed to do, because we want you to connect with them. And one of the ways they're going to do it is through small group gatherings. They're going to be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so I want to encourage you, if your small group has invited you to be part of it, make it a priority. They've made us a priority. You make them a priority. I know it's fall break and all that kind of stuff, but I believe you're going to be incredibly blessed by hanging out with them, sharing a meal with them. If you haven't been invited to be a part of a small group, or you say, hey, I'd like to be part of one of those dinners, on your way out, and the information desk, there'll be people there, say, and they'll help you find the right place Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday. Okay, so I want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to go ahead and head out to the hub. They're going to be out there, and you have a chance to meet them and talk to them and connect with them. Now, let me talk to you about Wednesday night. Wednesday night is something very unique we call the Live Missions Experience. We're bringing Africa to you. Each one of these missionaries is creating a scene from ministry in Africa, and it's going to be all around the building, and we're going to meet here in the worship center, and then we're going to move from room to room, and you're going to be able to see with sight and sound what ministry looks like in Africa. And so it's going to be exciting. All ages should come and be part of it. And then when we're done at 8 o'clock, we have some families in our church who are native to Africa who are creating authentic African food, so we're going to have a taste of Africa at 8 o'clock in the hub, and so that'll be a great experience. And then it's going to all conclude next Sunday morning in our Faith Promise service, and so next Sunday is when we're going to ask you to make a commitment to missions for the next 12 months, and we're going to be part of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people all around the world, and you're going to help us continue to say yes to the missionaries who call us to help them do what God's called them to do. Am I in the right church today? All right. Why don't you stand? Dan Pongratz is here. Dan, would you come up here for a second? Dan is our treasurer of the Indiana District Assemblies of God. He's also over all of the missionaries of Indiana. And so, Dan, would you take us out with just a prayer of blessing and thanks? He's also Scott's dad, by the way, back here. And so that's why he's here this morning. But, Dan, would you pray for us as we leave?
Thank you, Pastor. Father, we are so grateful today for your goodness and faithfulness to us. Father, thank you for Pastor Wayne this morning, for his heart for the lost, the heart that you placed within him. Thank you that 17 years ago when you ministered to him, Lord, this is a result of vision. Thank you, Lord, it's not just here for the Indianapolis area, but it's for around the world. And may the same vision that has caused this to happen cause churches to be planted, ministries to take place around the world. Father, thank you for what you're going to do this week in this church as people get better acquainted with missions. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. We're grateful to be a part of what you're doing in these last days. Cause, Lord, a great harvest for this week and the efforts that this church has put forth. Pray your blessing upon our missionaries, their travels, their journeys, their ministries, not only here but around the world, Lord. Be glorified in all that's said and done, we pray. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.